God, we're just so thankful for how great you are. Your name is great. It's above every other name. And right now, God, just with our hands out extended to you, God, we not only want to thank you for what you've done, but we recognize in this moment that you are a God who gives life, and you give things that we need when we need it. You always show up on time. And so even right now throughout this room, I just pray over these students, and I ask, God, that whatever it is they need, that you would provide it. Whatever spark they might need in their walk, God, for whatever confidence boost in you that they might need, you would give them that lift of faith in their spirit. And God, you would help them to realize that you are with them. You're by their side. Just all throughout this room, God, we open our hearts up to whatever you want to place in us right now. And we thank you that you're at work. We thank you that you're on our side. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can take a seat. All right, how y'all doing? Y'all good? All right, so got our theme night kind of thing going on. We got a few people dressed up for it, and at the very end, we will do all of them come up here, and we let some of the grown-ups judge who's going to win the prizes that we have tonight. So somebody's going to come away a winner. A few of you are. It's going to be exciting. So idea behind the theme night, I think most people did Western. I think it was like Western City. You did? Okay, some people say they did City. All right. Well, you can come up here later, too. We'll judge you, too. So, Western City Night. And it's interesting, when you think about those two things, they're complete opposite, right? Complete opposite. So, it's two things cannot be more different from one another, Western and City. You could call that what's called an oxymoron. Anybody can anybody tell me what that means? I saw Camden's hand up first. Something opposite from something. Yeah, that's it. It's two things that are opposite from one another. It's a phrase that has two words in it which completely contradict one another. I'll give you a few examples of this. Bittersweet. Icy cold. That's a good one. Icy cold. Awfully good. And jumbo shrimp. That's the best one, I think. Jumbo shrimp. Look, you came up with that one. That's just kind of funny, right? Jumbo shrimp. What's interesting is that as we look through the Bible, we see some of these, like, ideas and phrases and things that Jesus says that is almost like an oxymoron. It's like an idea where the idea gets flipped upside down on its head from what we would think should be. An example of this, a couple of examples, Jesus said that, let the greatest person among you be the servant. And then he said this, he said that at the end in heaven, he said, the first will be last and the last will be first. And so there's these ideas throughout the Bible, especially some of the words of Jesus, where it's almost like an oxymoron. It's like two things that don't seem like they should go together. Paul actually had one of these in 2 Corinthians, and he said this. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says this. The last part of that verse says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So when I am weak, then I am strong. It's almost like jumbo shrimp, right? It's like, almost like icy cold or whatever it might be. It's two things that don't seem like they should go together. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. How in the world could that even be possible? So is he talking about physical strength? No, he's not talking about physical strength. I only wish that this was true about physical strength. Like for me, I haven't been to the gym in like 10 years. And what if that actually made me get ripped? You know, that would be really nice. This would be great news for me if Paul was talking about physical strength. And when we are weak, then we are strong. I would love that. That would make getting strong and ripped a lot easier. But he's not talking about physical strength. And you guys know that. You guys probably already get that. He's not talking about that at all. So to see what he's talking about, when I am weak, then I am strong, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll kind of talk you through the background before we look at the verses. But what's going on is that the Apostle Paul, this guy, he was like a spiritual giant, you know. If there are all the apostles and guys after Jesus died and rose again that did great things for God, did great things for Jesus, he would be the GOAT. He would be like the MJ, not the LeBron, sorry guys. He'd be like the MJ of apostles. He was the GOAT of apostles. He did so many great things. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. That's what he did. And so for Paul, he had all these great accomplishments. And you know, but the thing was, is that God was more concerned with Paul's character than he was his accomplishments. And so Paul lists all these things in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he starts talking about what happened to him. And he says, actually, I had these great visions that were crazy. God showed him a glimpse of heaven. And these things that just are like so unique and so different, nobody else had this stuff going on. And Paul realizes it. And what happens is Paul has a moment where all of a sudden he's realizing that, wait a minute, God's trying to humble me in this moment because I'm at danger here of getting too conceited, too big for my own britches, basically. And that's kind of where 2 Corinthians 12 starts off. God wants us to be dependent on him. Everybody say, dependent. Dependent. Dependence on God means this. It means we carry with us this mentality that says, God, I need you. I need you every single day. I cannot do life by myself. I cannot figure out life by myself. I need your help every single day. God wants us to live in dependence of him or dependent on him. That wasn't just for Paul, okay? That wasn't just a thing for Paul. This started in the Garden of Eden. So God creates humans in his own image, right? And then he puts them there, and they had this great relationship. Things were just like so perfect, so pure. No evil in the world. Everything was great. And the best thing about it was is that they were close to God. They were walking in fellowship with God. There was a dependence that they had in God, a trust they had in God. And God gives them this option, though, right? You guys know the story. There's a tree right there that they're not supposed to eat from. And it was a test of that trust, a test of that dependence. And you all know what they did. They ate from the tree in the Garden of Eden. And by them doing that, they were basically saying, no, God, I got this. I know you said to do this, but I kind of think I should do this. And it was the first example of somebody who should have had this dependence, this trust in God. Okay, you told me not to do that. I just trust you. I'm just going to do what you want. A dependence on God to say, God, you want me to not eat from the tree? I'm going to depend on what you say to help me more than what I want to do. And they failed in it. And so ever since that time, there is this struggle and this battle within all of us to get back to what was first in the Garden of Eden, where it was just a pure trust in God, a pure belief, a pure faith, a dependence in God. And so you follow that all the way to 2 Corinthians 12. And that's where Paul is. And Paul is feeling that tension. Paul, the Michael Jordan of apostles, he was feeling this tension that all of us feel where it's like, hey, I've got this temptation to kind of think I can do it on my own. I've seen all of these great things. God's used me in all these ways. I've had all these great things happen. I'm starting to feel really good about myself. Has anybody ever been there where you're like, okay, I think I got this thing rolling. I'm doing pretty good. And then God comes along and humbles you. Has anyone ever had that happen? Nobody. Thank you, Matthew. Like me and Matthew. Okay, some other people. Okay, if it hasn't happened yet, wait. Some, you know, it happens. Because listen, again, God is more concerned with your character than he is your accomplishments. Your character and who you are is more important to God than what you do. That is so important to remember. And so Paul is feeling that tension, starting to get conceited, starting to get arrogant, starting to like get independent from God. He feels it. And then this is what we read in 2 Corinthians 7 and 8. This is what Paul says. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, again, all the crazy visions he got, where he got to see a glimpse of heaven, these great things. He says, because of that, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. And so this thorn in the flesh, like if you read all the Bible scholars and what they say, nobody knows what it was. There's like theories about what it might be, right? And so nobody knows what that might have been. It may have been like a physical ailment. It may have been, I don't know what it was, something he dealt with. That he said to God multiple times, he was like, God, please, Will you please just take this from me? Will you please help me with this? Will you please fix this? Will you please solve it? And you know what God did? He didn't do what Paul asked. He didn't do what Paul asked. Have any of you ever prayed a prayer and you like really prayed and then it doesn't turn out the way you want? Yeah, a lot of hands. Totally. I've had a couple things recently and that's happened, right? You are not alone. Paul had this happen. A dude who is so close to God, he had the very same thing happen where God didn't solve what he wanted solved. Instead, he did something I think even better. Because of all that, we now have this. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10 right now. This is how God responded to Paul. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And now Paul again is saying this. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And then our phrase here that we looked at, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul asked God over and over and over, God, will you please fix it? Will you please solve it? And God answered Paul, but not the way he wanted. He tells him that he is perfect for him in the weakness that he has, that God is enough. And so we can trust that when God doesn't answer a prayer, when it's something that we want God to do, and we're so desperate, God, please, will you heal somebody? Please, will you please make this relationship better? Will you please make this situation better for me? Will you provide this thing? And it looks like God doesn't come through on it. It doesn't happen the way we want. We can trust, guys, that God has heard you, and him not answering it, he has something better for you. This was the case for Paul, because the very thing that Paul wanted to be fixed, God, please fix it. It was the very thing that Paul needed to become the person that God had for him to be. And this lesson in depending on God, in God's power being perfect for you in the place where you're weak. Paul couldn't have learned that without this trouble that he had, without this problem he had. And so God not answering it the way that Paul wanted was a gift to Paul, even though he probably didn't feel like it. And the whole lesson here is this oxymoron, when I am weak, then I am strong. So here's how this works. Verse 9 shows us that it's God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And in other words, the areas in life where we feel weak and helpless, that's the area where God wants to show up and show that he's strong. And so if you have an area in your life and you're like, I just don't feel like I'm good enough in the area. I feel like this area, I'm doing my best. This area is out of control. Something at home is out of control. Something with somebody I love has a physical thing going on. It's out of control. Like whatever it might be, that is a problem that is too big for you. Think of that problem. That's the very avenue where you feel weak and God's power can show up in the situation. That's what happens. And so, think about this. There are so many times in the Bible where people felt like they were running on empty and God showed up and did the miraculous. And that's really what this whole lesson from Paul is about, right? He felt completely empty and weak and powerless. But think about this. When we are on empty and we feel like we've got nothing left, we're fighting all we can and things aren't getting better, that's the very place God wants us to be right before he shows up and does a miracle. And I want to name a few places in the Bible where that happened. So Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. They were powerless. Their situation was powerless. God showed up with the 10 plagues and delivered them. They ran from the Egyptians and they get to the sea. And there is a body of water between them. We're talking like 1.2 million people. They're all there to escape the Egyptians. And the world's most powerful army is behind them. And they're stuck in between. And they're like, okay, we're at a moment. This is an absolutely empty moment. We are helpless right now. And what does God do? He parts the waters. He parts the waters. There's story after story after story where people felt like they were at their weakest before the miracle happened. People were on empty before the miracle happened. Israel had no idea how to get through the wilderness. God led them through a pillar of cloud and fire by night. Joshua had a battle. They were going to lose. The sun and moon stood still in order for them to be able to fight the battle and win. Samuel's mom, she was without children. She couldn't bear children. She was so desperate for a child. Her back was against the wall. She felt helpless. She felt empty. She prayed, and God delivered. When we are on empty, it's the right time for God to do a miracle. All throughout the Bible, there is a widow who was completely out of food. She had nothing, and the oil she had kept getting multiplied. There's another widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. Her son was raised from the dead. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. I can't imagine how empty he felt, and God showed up. He was empty, but God made him full through the miracle. Last week, we learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were at a place where they were like, God, we're about to get thrown in a fire. That would be a place of being weak and helpless. God showed up and did a miracle. And there's a list and list of plethora of times. A lot of the miracles, almost all the miracles in the Bible, happened when people like you and I were at a place where they were like, I've got nothing left. Have you ever felt like you have nothing left? Have you ever felt like, God, how are you? God, if you don't come through for me, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's what we're to learn tonight. When we are weak, he is strong. When we are weak, he is strong. I want to show you an illustration really quick. Fell off of each side, that's perfect. Maybe. I don't know. It's all right. All right. So this paper, it represents our strength, okay? Represents how strong we are on our own. And let me even it out a little bit. Yeah. And this represents the troubles that come to us in life, right? So do you think this will hold up this if I put it on there? Absolutely not. And I could let it fall if I wanted. It won't. And because what happens is life shows up with its trouble, right? And we've got our own strength. We're trying to battle through. We're trying to fight through. And we just aren't enough on our own. But what God tells us is that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And when we are weak, he is strong. And so it's not about guys. It's not about how much you can man up. I got this. I don't need, no, don't be like that. Find your strength at the place where you're weak because we depend on God and his strength. And so what happens is this. If we say we want to have the strength of God, right? Somebody, Marshall, coming up. Just hold the mic for me. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he was excited. It's not that. No. All right, so what happens is, you know, we get to partner with God on certain things. And the way that we say I'm going to rely and depend on his strength is we do certain things to partner with him, just to, like, position ourselves where he wants us to be, to draw on his strength. And what are some things, you guys, I'll take some answers out there. What are some things that God just wants us to do in our lives? I saw what you did. Harley. Get better math grades is a good one. That's one. Camden, what about you? Read the Bible. So in our relationship, we depend on God. One way we do it is we read the Bible. So that's one thing we do. Remy, what do you got? Don't drop out. Hey, we stay. I'll take that. That and math grades, all right, are an example of being committed to the things God wants us to do well, right? So I'm going to fold the paper again. That's another one. Piper. Serve him through our actions. I'm going to fold it again. That's another example. So I'm going to fold it again. Anybody else got one? Yeah, Gerald. Pray. Pray's a really good one. I'm going to fold it another time. One more, Angel. Follow him, all right? So all these different ways, for every time I fold it, Jake, what do you got? You got a different one? Yeah, respect your mom and dad. One more, Camden. Hang out. Oh, boy, such a good one. Hang out with the right people, right? So all these ways I fold it. Sorry, I got to move on. I'll listen to it later. All these, I folded it for every way that you guys mentioned that we're supposed to follow after God, right? These aren't just things we do to check a box, to feel good about ourselves. There are ways that we say, guys, God, on my own, I can't do this. I depend on you to carry me through because life's too hard without it. And when we do all of that, thank you, Marshall. When we do all of that, guys, it's not that we become some spiritual giant. Paul didn't become some spiritual giant. What he learned is that I'm so weak right now on my own that I'm going to do all the things God wants me to do. And when we do that, we find that it's his strength that is holding us up. And so we're going to open these altars for a few minutes, and then after the altars, we'll judge all the people who wore stuff. But if everybody would just stand up first with me right where you are. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that it's not about how strong we are. It's all about your strength. And it's not about trying to look like we're churchy. It's not about just coming to church just to check a box and say we did it. No, God, it's about going to you and saying that, Lord, I recognize that if I do this myself, it's going to be a colossal failure. That, Lord, I am so weak, and that's why I want to grow spiritually. It's because I'm that weak on my own. And so, God, as we come to these altars tonight, we just stand before you, we kneel before you, and we ask that your strength would fill our lives in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. If everyone could, just everybody come on up, find a place to pray for a few minutes.